July 23rd, 1998. This is Gordon Poehler with Shauna Lukien, and we're going to interview Dennis Kanagan. Dennis, if you don't mind, we wanted to just start by getting some background information for the record. So could you tell us when and where you were born?
I was born in a fog neck on March the 28th, 1930.
And who were your parents?
My mom was Polly Kanagan. And don't know who my dad is.
Did you have brothers or sisters?
Yes, I had a brother named Roy. And two sisters, Helen, Thayil was the older one, and Helen the youngest. And that was it in the family.
How long did you live in a fog neck village? From 1930 on?
1930 till... Till I was 26 years old when I got married. I was 25. I got married. And I lived in Carlick for a little bit, maybe a year. Then moved back to a fog neck for 2 years. No, for a year, I think 25. For 4 years. And moved to Kodiak. See, we got married in 56. Stayed in Carlick almost a year. Went to Fog Neck and there for 3 years. Anyhow, it was 1960 when I moved to Kodiak. So October 4th, 1960 is when I moved to Kodiak. That I can remember.
So you were in Kodiak during the earthquake and tidal wave?
Yes, we just got in that day. From crab fishing.
Could you tell us about the layout of the old village and how it was situated and what part of the village you lived in?
I lived close to the schoolhouse where I went to school, the grade school, which was about maybe 200 yards from where I lived in school. And I hunted and fished right around there. I stayed, spent most of my time in a fog neck when I went to school.
So you lived in Aleut Town,
right,
part of the village?
Right. And I hunted and fished. That's all I did all my life.
Did you go to school in the village at all?
Just in the village. Never went anywhere else. Went up to the 8th grade. And
do you remember who your teachers were?
My first grade teacher was Mrs. Wingfield.
Wheatfield?
Wingfield.
Oh, Wingfield.
And from then on, up until right after Wingfield, I think it was Carmody. Mr. and Mrs. Carmody. They were there for about 3 years. Then Cameron's came. Mr. and Mrs. Cameron came. Then I was, that was my last school teachers.
What do you remember about the school? Did you like it, or was it a difficult time?
Oh yeah, I liked going to school. We played, we didn't have no fancy basketball courts and stuff like that. We played lecture and a little bit softball and soccer ball and volleyball and that at recess time. We had assembly every Friday morning, which all the grades would get together and sing songs and stuff like that, you know.
Can you describe Lapshire?
I don't know if it's an Aleut game or, but the Aleuts call it Laptuk, which is, I don't think it's Aleut, it's Russian. It's a game that you use a rubber ball, big rubber ball, and a pitcher stands like from here to you. And he just pitches the ball straight up and you bat, and there's one base. You run to the base and bat. And if somebody catches the ball, you're out. Well, the whole team is out. Once, just once. So the other side bats. Or if you're running and don't make it to the base, they can hit you with the ball. And the other team gets the bat.
Uh-huh.
And the scores was how many people ran, and you could have maybe 10 people on each side. And if they all ran over and back, that was 10. The score was 10. So a lot of times their score was way up there in the hundreds.
Was there any language problem when you started school? Did you speak Aleut and needed to learn English then?
No. No, we never had that problem. Oh, there was a few, like when Billy Bearstock came, he used to kind of use the Aleut language. But none of us used it. I couldn't speak it, but I could understand it all. I used to listen to my folks talk, and I could understand it. I used to try to talk in Aleut outside of school. And I still can't speak it well, but I'm learning.
Sounds to me like you speak it well.
Yeah. Well, a few words that I know. I mean that I could pronounce, you know.
What's the most pleasant thing you remember about the village?
Oh, I like the starring and I can't remember. I used to like the. I look forward to starring and, you know, Russian Christmas. In fact, I didn't know the songs, but I used to like it. I used to like to listen to it, and I slowly learned. I learned from Sana's great uncle. He was on crutches. I used to coax him to go starring, you know, he was the leader. And on cold days, he didn't want to go, so I'd dress him up and I'd pack him. Or I'd put him on a sled and take him here and there. So, that's what I liked. Yeah.
Can you remember who the leaders were in the village, the chief?
Not really, no. There were no leaders that I know of. If anything happened that was a crime or something, they'd call Kodiak, you know. Mm-hmm. School teachers had the radio. Call Kodiak. And then after the school teachers left, the radio, the shared Ellison, Nettie Ellison, ran the radio. The schedule, you know, like they had to send telegrams and stuff. They go to the Ellisons and send the telegrams.
So, would Marshall come out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He'd come out. Yeah.
What kinds of things would Marshall need to come for?
Oh, well, if somebody got beat up or somebody got murdered or... You know, there was...
You had a murder?
Oh, yeah, there was one murder there that I know of. But the guy that got murdered was a murderer himself. He killed a lot of people. And he was trying to kill somebody else. They called it murder anyhow. When uh-huh. You know, they never used any guns or nothing, but they just beat him to death.
Who was that?
It was John Toshwa. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that was a way of distributing justice.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember any other particular problems or hardships?
Not really, no.
How about illnesses and what happened when someone got sick?
A lot of the old women were, you know, like doctors there, you know. Mm-hmm. Like Mrs. Nelson was one, Mrs. Shirteen, and oh, Bearstoff, Mrs. Bearstoff. Like when Denny, my boy, the oldest boy, he got sick. He was just a little baby when he got sick, and I ran over to Mrs. Nelson and got her, and she came with a bunch of Bics, everything, and she fixed him up. You know, he was really in bad. He was even, you know, he was turning colors. He was so sick. You know, I think he had pneumonia. He was turning blue, and I got really worried, so I had to run about a mile to pick her up, you know. But luckily they had a Jeep, and Willis Nelson brought her back in a Jeep. She didn't waste any time. She got a hold of them. I don't know how she did it, but she got some hot towels or something, real hot towels, and she put some Vicks on them, and then she put them on his chest and wrapped him up and put him to bed. I woke up good in the morning.
Do you recall if the people on each side of the village, in Aleut Town and Russian Town, called themselves different things? Or Aleuts and Aleut Town, but did the people in Russian Town call themselves Aleuts?
Not that I know of. No, not in my time. We got along pretty good as boys, you know, with the boys I grew up with. course, there's only one guy left from all the boys I grew up with. Yeah. This Reggie Gunderson's the only one left from all the boys I grew up with. All of them either drowned or passed away or...
And he lived on...
He's in Port Lyon.
I mean, but in Afognak, he was on Russiantown side?
Yeah, he was on the other end, Gunderson, uh-huh. The last one of the last houses, uh-huh. Down the other end.
Reggie's a Gunderson?
Yeah.
Reggie Griggs?
No, Gunderson.
Oh, Reggie Gunderson.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Reggie Griggs.
No.
Oh.
Reggie Griggs is quite a bit younger than... Reggie's, he's a year younger than me, too.
Mm.
Yeah.
What other communities did you interact with most often that you remember?
Oh, what? Yuzinki and Karluk and Larson Bay. I was a fisherman, so it was all over the place.
So, do you remember rowing between the villages, or did you have motors?
I didn't do any rowing between villages. I used to row up into Letnik, and I'd take my cousins out to pick seagull eggs and stuff out to these rocks out here. In this Lamb Island, we used to walk clean around the island picking seagull eggs. Helen Nelson and Julia Naughton now, they used to row out with her great grandfather's story. You know, we used to borrow that and row out. Uh-huh. You know, when everybody was fishing, I was just a little. I was the youngest guy around town that was old enough to go out and take them out, picking seagull eggs. And,
How old were you when you did that?
Probably about 9, 10.
Wow.
10. They were both older than me. They were about a year older than me.
Can you think of any stories or anything you would care to share with us about the village that I haven't asked you about?
Boy. Not really. Our only recreation was ice skating and that ball that I told you about, ball games I told you about, masquerading and stuff like that. That's the only thing I... I don't know too much. I don't know as much as the older ones know. And we used to go over to Yuzinki and do dancing and... We danced a lot, both night too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was around when the army was here. You know, the army camp was up in Letnik here. I used to row up and stay with them during the summertime. I'd go up and stay with the army guys in their tents and help them towing logs down from the. You know, I'd jump on the cat, and I used to drive cat. I mean, just drive it while I towing logs down, you know, when I was a little kid. The army guys. I'd spend a week up there sometimes.
Was that during the war?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many were up there?
Oh, man, there must have been a couple hundred anyhow.
And
they used to go down to a fog neck and dance all the time.
That must have been quite a change. Having that many.
Oh yeah, and then the Navy was there too. The Navy was up at the lake, you know. And I used to They used to have ball games between them up at the lake. The Army would go up and play with the Navy, you know. So. And then they'd go down to a fog neck and dance. And the Navy and Army would fight.
So there must have been a community hall or someplace big enough to have a dance.
Oh yeah, it was a Chichinov's hall. They danced in the daytime. All day and all night sometimes, you know. They used to have me call for the dance and collect for the dance. See, they charged $10 for the hall.
So what else, were there stores in the village?
Stores?
Yes.
Oh yeah, there was two stores. Patillon's. At one time there was three.
Wow.
Patillon's, Pioman's, and Sheely's. Sheely's store started his store on in Elliottown. And he ended up, or I don't know, he might have had two stores. I know there was one store in Elliottown and he had one on the other side. I don't know if they both operated at the same time. Then there was two liquor stores. They did a lot of drinking, you know. And they had, their liquor came in barrels. And I remember I used to pick up bottles to make money. I'd go along picking up bottles and washing bottles, and selling them back to Patillon because he'd pour them full of liquor, you know. You know, it'd be wine bottles.
So were the liquor stores associated with the grocery stores?
No.
Oh, they were separate.
No. Yeah, they were separate.
So, well, who owned the liquor stores?
Patillon. He owned
same person that owned the other store?
Yeah, it was AC Company, is what it was. Just like, And then the other liquor store was Cecil Brown. That was in a pool hall. That was way on the other end of town, past Sealy's store.
He had a pool hall too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I was a little bit curious. You mentioned Sheely's store, and I've seen the name Sheely, and then a lot of times Von Sheely. Is that the same?
Yeah, yeah, but we used to leave the Von out. but I guess his name was Von Sheely.
I've noticed it's written both ways.
Yeah. Yeah, and Robert, he had the mail boat, you know. He went around the island with the mail, the Shuyak. Before the Shuyak, he had he started with a boat named Rough Rider. Then he got a little, that was only between Gizinki and a fog neck, carrying mail. Then he started going around the island with the boat called Charlotte B, the Charlotte B. And that one got wrecked, so he got Phyllis S. from Grimes. I guess he chartered it that winter while he was in process of getting another boat or something, you know. Then that's when the Navy Navy destroyer hit that in Whale Pass and sunk it. And Sperry Agic's mother-in-law and his daughter drowned in that, went down on that, on the Phyllis S.
Do you remember what year that was?
Boy, no, I don't.
So, during the war?
Yeah, it was during the war because it was a Navy destroyer that hit them in Whale Pass. Then after that, he got the Shuyak, the boat Shuyak. I don't know if you remember the Shuyak.
So what other businesses were there then? There were the grocery stores, liquor stores, pool hall? And,
That was it.
That was it.
I ran a little store at one time, though.
You did?
Just soda pop. I sold soda pop and candy. Oh. But see, at that time, soda pop was 15 cents a bottle at Patellin's and 20 cents in at Healy's. And I'd take a wheelbarrow and go to Patellin's and get it for 15 cents and bring it to Elliottown and sell it for 20. So I competed with Healy's price. You know. And then my candy bars, it was illegal though, you know. The candy bars I bought from the army camp. And they were, the candy bars were a nickel then. But I was getting them 45 cents a carton. You know, so I was selling them for a nickel too. But I was getting them from the army camp. I'd get cartons of them in here in Danger Bay, you know. And I'd sell them for a nickel. But I made my living like that.
So how did you meet someone from Carlock to get married?
Oh, fishing. Fishing, I ran in a dance.
In Carlock?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Actually, I met her before that, working in Kodiak. Oh, I never told you about that. I went to Kodiak, got a job, and worked on when they built the Lucian Homes. And Julie, she happened to come out that time. And I asked for a date. She was going to go out with me that night, but she ended up going to Carlock. So, didn't get to see her. So that next summer I got to see her. But I still didn't, you know, still wasn't with her. It took about 3-4 more years before I got to know her more.
Did you get married in Carlock or Fognan?
No, we got married in Kodiak.
In Kodiak.
Yeah, we had a reception in Kodiak, and we had a reception in the Fog Neck, and we had a reception in Carlock.
Yeah. Oh,
there you go. And I got together with her in Larson Bay. That's where I got together with her, in the dance.
Sounds like dancing was a big thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the only thing they had to do. Mm-hmm. You know, at night, a lot of the guys played instruments, you know, and accordions and guitars and banjos. And that's what all the guys from here did. They used to go over there and play for dances. Mm. And there was a lot of musicians here. Accordion players, violin players.
You mean here in Kootenay?
Yeah. I remember this old guy, Gabe. They used to have these radios, batteries, you know, with batteries. And they'd have 5 different kinds of batteries, you know. And they'd go haywire and he'd fix them. No, I don't know, get a bunch of tin cans together somehow, he'd get them going. Sparky, we called him.
Did you had the radios that you listened to when you were a child?
Oh yeah, yeah. My sisters, we had a banya, you know, and we had a speaker going to the banya. They used to have requests. From Kodiak, you know, it'd be different requests for different people all around the island and Kodiak. And my sisters used to like to listen to that. They'd go to Banya and they'd come back in the house so they could listen to requests. So my brother decided he's going to put a speaker in the banya for them. So he put a speaker in the banya for them. They listened to requests in there. But if they stayed too long, he just shut that off, and boy, they'd come right out of the banya. So he had it rigged pretty good. Roy did, you know, my brother. He had rigged so that they stayed in the banya too long. If he wanted to go to wash banya, he'd shut the speakers off.
Yeah. When you were in Kodiak during the tidal wave, did you hear right away about the condition of a fog neck and what had happened, or was there a period of time when you didn't know what had happened over there?
Well, it took a couple of days, because we just got in that day, you know. I was with on the boat that got lost, Spruce Cape, me and my cousin Jacob Lekeen. We just got in that day, and I tried to get the skipper to go take a steam bath. They used to have the steam baths in Kodiak there, you know. Well, right now there's canneries there. Used to be the dollhouse and the greenhouse and them, you know. I tried to take him, but he was drinking and didn't want to go. So I just went home. Then the earthquake hit, you know. So I went back and I tried to get him, and he says no, you know. So I decided I'm going to pick up Julie. She was working at King Crab. I picked her up and come back, and then they said there was going to be a tidal wave. So we ended up going up Pillar Mountain. My car had no gas in it, so I poured my kicker gas in and didn't quite make it all the way up. But the couple that owned the Beachcombers, Legs and Needy at that time, pushed it up the rest of the way up the hill. Yeah. Then I started worrying about Jacob. I was wondering if he went on the boat, you know, because I heard them guys. I had a little radio and I could listen to the guys talking up on the hill. And I heard when the boat that I was on said there was a wall of water coming at him, you know. And I didn't know who was under. So I decided I'm going to go see how Alice is doing. You know, my aunt that was here. She lived on Alder Lane. So I walked down. I walked. See, you know how you drive up Pillar Mountain? Mm-hmm. Well, she was in Alder Lane, so I walked down to Alder Lane. And I went in, there was Jacob, there all by himself. I said, where's Alice? He says, I don't know, she's up the hill somewhere. He's drunk though, you know. And he says, boy, there's a lot of beer down. He says, he had a case of quartz. You know, there was beer all over town, you know. All the liquor stores and everything, bars and everything was washed away, you know. Everything was floating around. So he had a case of quartz. And he says, have a drink. I says, no, you better get up the hill with me. I don't want to hike up. I says, well, maybe the next wave will get you. I told him, and boy, he jumped up and he came. He says, I got to take some beer. I says, no, it's going to be too heavy.
You know. Is that Uncle Jacob in the Lions now?
Yeah.
So when did you hear about a fog neck?
Sonny came over. Sonny Chichinov came over. Well, see, what happened was the boats that came in with us, the Gale, Johnny's boat, and Harry, my cousin's boat, came. Your grandfather was running JP's boat, the Gale. And who's running Harry's boat? Oh, Harry himself was on there. Johnny Shertin was with him. He was my brother-in-law at that time. And I guess they anchored up the boats, and Johnny's house was not far from where they anchored up, above Keeley store there. And they started rowing ashore, and he rowed up almost right to his porch with the tide came in, and they rowed up, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's when the tidal wave was hitting. And Sonny came. After everything calmed down, I guess, Sonny Chichinov. He come to check on his folks in Fog Bank. And he told me all about it. Mm-hmm. Told me my folks were okay and everybody was okay. Nobody got lost. And he said he was shopping on his way back. He said there was all kinds of stuff floating around. Rain gear and brand new stuff, you know, still all wrapped up yet, you know. Still dry, you know, just floating. And this green or whatever they were in, the cellophane, you know.
Did you have anything you'd like to ask, Shana?
Who is it? Reggie Gunderson was telling me a story about 1964 when the quake hit and the tidal wave, and he said somebody was coming to a fog neck, and they rode the tidal wave on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he saw him coming up, and somebody lost a plane. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those planes with that can land on the water, you know? Uh-huh. And he drove up and he found the person, and they had a bottle of whiskey, and they were all drunk, and they were towing the plane by their boat. Do you know who that was?
Yeah, that was, I heard him too, Paul Bayou.
Oh.
He, on the homeward, he was coming. See, Hermold was running the Cape Horn, and all the guys are coming from Elitek. Mm-hmm. After the tidal wave hit, they were all coming to town. Because all the canneries are washed away, they couldn't sell their crab. And they come back, and all the boats are floating around, and Hermold said he was just dropping anchors on all the boats that everybody seen out there. He'd go out there, nobody on them, you know. That he knew of, except Fritz DeBoe was on one boat out there that was drifting around. He woke up and he was passed out on his boat when this happened. And he woke up and he wondered what happened. You know, he was out way out in the water, drifted out of the harbor, you know. And Hermel dropped all those anchors, and Paul Bayou come along and seen this airplane floating out there, so he put it on tow and brought it back in. One of Bob Hall's planes, Kodiak Airways. That's the only thing. That's what Reggie was talking about.
Yeah, and I thought it was so funny. You know how Reggie gets when he tells a story?
Well, thank you very much, Dennis. Really enjoyed it.
Sorry, I couldn't tell you anymore.
Well, that's fine. Maybe we'll get you again.
When I can remember.
Well, Jeff's going to be along shortly. He's taking some medicine and going to try to eat something. He may try to get out today.
Oh, really?
He's not getting better.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's good.
Are you leaving? You mean?
This afternoon he may leave. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's been different this year. Real different.
He just hasn't been into the... Well, he hasn't been feeling well.
He's really sick.
We had so much fun with him last year.
Fever.
Yeah, that's no fun.
So. He probably should get out.
And I guess Catherine is quite sick, too.
Yeah, she is. Sick.
And Clyda isn't going to be here. I wonder if we should just let him go and lay down in the tent. Stay in.
If you start feeling too sick, Jeff, they give you permission to go back to bed.
Okay, but I'll sit her up for a while. Listen.
Yeah, you certainly should, you know, if you're not feeling up to it, you know, you really should.
Well, it's warm.
Are you warm enough?
Yeah.
We'll just talk in English.
No.
Well, we thought maybe we could just talk about the schedule first, because we got kind of mixed up yesterday and we didn't know that what we were supposed to be planning. And people kept going off and doing different things. So maybe we could meet this morning until, like an hour and a half? Is that a good length of time?
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully in between, we could also do some individual interviews. I need to finish with Johnny. And then we could have another session this afternoon, right after lunch, at 1:30. Would that be good?
That sounds good.
And then, assuming that Catherine is feeling well enough, she had a presentation to do tonight with slides. And I think that would be at 7:30. So, that'll help us keep on track a little more. What we were hoping that you might be willing to do today is to talk about any stories or experiences with little people or else with Olaf. And Jeff might have to help me with the terms for the little people. You were telling me yesterday, but I don't get it.
Did you ever see Olaf?
Pardon me?
Did you ever see Olaf?
What are they?
You know?
This down, they come down, they don't bother
they're
nobody.
Spirit. It's a spirit.
I always, Olaf, to me that sounds like somebody, a runaway. Huh?
Making fun of you or something.
A runaway who left the village and ran away and kind of lived in the mountains? Or?
They have, I heard that the Russians going to beat them up to death, you know. And before that happens, they take off the woods and disappear because they know they'd be killed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Russians, you know, are pretty mean to them.
Oh.
Mm. And they, you see, they could survive better than we can because they ate raw. Yeah.
Wow, that's how, is that, so that's how the Olaf, the term started?
How the Russians were mean to the people, you know.
And so they ran away from the Russians?
Yeah, from beaten up, you know, to death.
From being beaten up to death?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They could
because
survive.
They could, some of them people were pretty good and what do you call it? Hypnotism. Hypnotism.
Oh, hypnotism.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then they take them to Kojak, put them there, and next day he's home. He told the people, "I'll be back." And the judge, his pencil, he couldn't say nothing, so they put him in jail he told the people when they're going to take him on the kayak or whatever, he'll be back. So next morning, sure enough, he's back. Jail is not busted, he just went through it. Just like a snake. Yeah. They were hard to punish.
So so when they ran away, did they stay away then?
Well, they had to, because they find them, they were killed, didn't
they? Oh, so they never came back. And they kind of just lived with the animals?
Yeah. And then they live on, they were no problem catching an animal to eat, you know, and beach stuff, you know. They knew what to eat. One person ran away, I think. Well, it must have been. Surveyors, American surveyors, saw a little smoke coming out of on Shuyag Island, way up there. And they snuck up on the guy.
Well, they thought he was there because they saw smoke coming out. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, they went there and he was in there. They cornered him. He was. They were in the doorway and he was inside. So they tried to leave a food to him, and he didn't want to eat people's food. He was wild, like an animal. Huh. And the next time they went and see if he's still there, he was gone. He ran away. He figured he'd probably get killed. Mm-hmm. But he left the place. The American surveyors found him. So that's Olak. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. A lot of people would see him in the woods, but then they disappear. Mm-hmm. They're hard to catch. Yeah.
So they weren't necessarily dangerous or evil or anything like that. Shaman or
Shamanak. Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, shamanak is shaman, like maybe Russians would say shaman, and others would say shamanak, put ak.
Mm-hmm. So what does shaman mean?
Fortune
what
teller.
Is the English meaning for shaman?
Evil.
Evil?
Yeah.
So that's different from the Olak.
Olak is right away personal. Different deal, yeah.
Is that a person also?
That's fun.
Is that a person also?
Also, people only do that. Who else will?
Shaman is the fortune teller.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know how they work.
I don't know how they work it.
Tell what's going to happen to you, you know?
Yeah, they can do anything they want to.
Yeah.
You know, you see them in TV. I saw in TV that they laid a woman, you know, put them on the flat first like this, and then put two chairs on one in each end. And one guy go on top and step on her. She didn't bend an inch. How could she stand all that weight, big man standing on her? Well, that's the kind of shaman that is hypnotized.
Yeah, hypnotized.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hypnotism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He went like this, and the woman got up just fine, just like nothing was on top of her. You know, it's hard to hold a man straight like this here without bending. Mm. Especially a woman. Yeah.
That's a magician.
Magician, whatever, I don't know, whatever.
The shamanic my mama, I don't know what it was, I guess she heard it, some guy's feelings, and he shamanic her. And then she used to say, just like a spider, used to walk inside her skin. And one time she told me, see, right over here, like a spider.
Yeah. Oh.
And then during that Plashenitsa, because Mama sent Polly to the guy that shamanic her, and he must have told Polly, go to church and wipe the Plashenitsa with that rag and put it on your mother's chest. Disappeared. Whatever that worked inside, like a spider.
What kind of people are they?
They're people just like us. Same thing. You never know who he is, what he does.
Rina was sick when she was sick, you know, she thought somebody did something to her clothes, made fun of her clothes or something. Did something, used her clothes or something when she was real sick with those things that came out. That's when she died.
Easels?
No, she had
those,
what do you call them?
Boils?
No, not boils. They were all over her body.
Sorry.
They were UH.
She was
no.
Some kind of sores.
Yeah. So she was wondering, Emily, kinam dang us ahu nang kang lanasi kay nasho me.
Oh, yeah.
You know how they used to be so real precious with their underclothes and their stuff. They never let nobody have them. They used to watch their real clothes, you know, Barbara. They had them too. Because they used to tell us to take good care of our underclothes, and when they care to burn them up yourself, don't let nobody else do them. They're real careful. They didn't want to get sick.
Was Robinson Crusoe in Ola?
He might be Chamarak too, huh?
Did you ever see an Olak, Johnny?
Hey.
Did you ever see one?
Chamarak.
No, how would Olak.
How would I know? Maybe these are Chamarak, so I don't know.
Olak.
Olak.
Olak. Olak. No, I haven't seen Olak. Nothing like that. I've seen a lot of bears, but maybe they're Olak too. Seen a lot of bears. That's the only animal I saw. Well, deer, elk. No person, wild person. Yeah, they're like, well, like animals. You know, they have to be tough. You face the winter, cold winter. See, they claim they even grow hair on their body, like a monkey. Because they have to have some kind of warmth in their body. Hair grows. No clothing like we have. Yeah, bear. Maybe if they have clothing, it's out of animal, you know, like a seal or a bear or something. You know, make a jacket or something, you know, to cover himself. I kind of picture it that way, you know, but most of the time I guess they're a bear. Bear, yeah. That's shaman. I guess they knew all that shaman because they caught whatever they wanted to. You know, kind of stunned you, like I said. How do you call it? Tricky. Oh, yeah. Well, if they can do that, he got no problem catching game. Yeah. But only well, somebody saw one again in Shuyak. Dimitri, I was talking. They run into him. You have to surprise them, otherwise they see you first, you'll never see you. Yeah.
Well, they're just like a deer, I guess. A deer can notice you before you notice
him. Yeah, he's gone. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, something else, remember the other day we were talking about Unglum Swa?
Unglum Swa, yeah.
And I've heard about, here's some others, over in Nunwilluk they talk about Ingim Swa. They have a whole bunch of them. Little people. We can't remember all the ones they talk about.
Ingdom, is that a room?
Well, that's what Infani was room? Talking about.
Person
like
in a room?
Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Huh?
No, it's a poltergeist. Remember she was saying, you know, you hear noises. Remember, that's the Ingdom Swa. But then they also have different ones they call like that I've heard from Nunwilluk. Well, they're actually called little people, you know. They say they're little people.
How do you call Unglum Swa in American? Is there a word for it?
Unglum Swa?
Yeah, the places are haunted.
Yeah, it's called, I think, poltergeist or something.
Oh, poltergeist.
Poltergeist, yeah.
Poltergeist, yeah.
But have you ever heard of Ingim Swa? Datum Swa? Circus Moonan mentioned a whole bunch of them.
Who did?
Oh, Circus Moon from Nunwell, English Bay.
Oh, that lady.
English Bay, is that a mountain?
Yeah, like that mountain people and the fog people and I don't know, you know, just all kinds of little people that live in different places.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Have you heard of anything like that?
I never heard, but I heard people ran away because they're going to get punished, you know, to death, you know, so they disappear. They run away. When they run away, they'll never come back because if they do, they'll get caught, you know, like to do these other fugitives in America. You've got to be away from where they were, you know, so they will find him, you know, like that. Yeah. But they're in the woods. See, these people are in the woods, but now you can't do that unless you hide way up in the cane,
I seem to remember from the Alaska Peninsula, too, they had a word for little people, and they call them something like Upnayut or something, Upnayut, or I forget how they said it. Or there's also this word... Ingakushut. I mean, these are different words for the same thing.
Yeah.
It's very... Do you remember any of those stories about, like, Indian song?
I heard the one.
Well, tell them.
But it sounded a scary one.
No, it doesn't have to be scary.
People, my grandma said to her mom, they went out to get ochis, that lantern. Ochitak. And she was using lantern. Not my grandma, but her mom. And they heard little birds chirping. And so she wondered, how could it be middle of the night and they hear birds chirping? Mm-hmm. So she followed that around the rock where it was making noise. I thought there was a little man who was wearing nice fur clothes. He had a little kayak with him.
Yeah.
All those material, just like a little tiny person. And he had a sulu duck, gold in his hand. And he told her that... someday your husband was going to be holding this. She didn't know what he meant, gold, how come gold? And he told her, don't tell no one that you saw me or else this good luck I'm giving you, it's going to turn to bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
So she never told anyone, but she realized what that little person meant. Her husband, my great grandpa, he turned to arts priest. And he held the cross, just like it was a cross for the people, the cross. And that was something she held on to till before she died.
Hmm.
Then she told people what she saw.
Hmm. So, and it actually happened.
I guess so, yeah.
There was nobody around in our old house, you know, where Papa and Good used to live after I had Freddy. Nobody around. And then I felt something, you know, my hair was braided. I tried to undo it, I couldn't. I tried, so I cut it off.
I tried to tell her when that happened to say, leave the alone. My mother had one like that.
Now, I was told that I should have left it.
Yeah, left it, but next day you wake up, it's all untangled.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mama
cut it and kept it.
I don't know, I guess I burned it.
Kept it.
Yeah.
Put it in a safe.
I didn't think
of it. Things like that, and how did... What kind of deal is that now? Is it actually a live thing, or... Or is this some kind of a, I wouldn't know how to explain it, but the spirit doing that? Unseenable,
invisible
object of some kind that has power.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think the people that actually experiences it are the only ones that can say. I really don't know.
There's some places houses have that.
Yeah. See,
maybe
yeah,
somebody left something so they make tricks to people that get in there next, you know, occupy the place, you know.
You read about it all the time where people have had to
families have had to move out because of all the spirits. That they've experienced. You know,
spooky.
It sounds unbelievable, but you can't help but believing stuff like that happens because, you know, it different. You hear it from different. So many different times from different areas.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's one that's just happened a month or so ago on my granddaughter Melody's grill. They live in Yuzinki. They live in Tita's house, you know, up in the hill. And in that, the girl, this one girl has the bedroom way in the back. And she's sitting there watching TV one night. She was in there all by herself watching TV and somebody came and pushed her. That's happened to her several times. But Melody says it's nothing scary. Whatever it is, it's a kind person.
Mm-hmm.
But she said they see shadows in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that girl will not sleep in that bedroom. She moved to the other one. In that room, she doesn't have a problem. And one night when she was in bed all by herself, somebody laid by her. So she got up and went by her mother, and she said, "Mom, somebody laid by me." Mm-hmm. There was nobody there. But you know, an 8-year-old girl, and this is just like a month or so ago. This is real recent, so they must be still around whoever they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 But she said, just hit her in the back. She felt it, you know.
Wow.
She turned around, there was nobody there, and they were the only two in the house. But whatever it is, Melody said, this is a kind one. It's not mean. No.
Just letting them know they're there.
Yeah.
Huh?
Letting them know
they're
there.
Not alone.
You know, there's other things we could talk about that are similar to that, like this the third night after.
Yes.
You know, somebody dies.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you call it too?
Yeah, I believe in that. I do believe in unuing walking.
It's several times. Until the 40th day, up to the 40th day.
Remember when we were unuing walking for Uncle John in Karluk?
Uh-huh.
Before midnight, remember he was going to add on to the house and he had all this building material outside? And we heard that. We could hear him pounding, and then the old blind lady was there, I think, and she said in Aleut something that Uncle John was going to build and he's out there. You know, doing it. We actually heard it.
Uh-huh.
We were all sitting there.
Uh-huh.
You know, because just before midnight, everybody has to be complete. There's silence in case the spirit comes back.
Maybe
and
he wanted
back.
To play poker game.
Yeah, maybe. But the old blind lady said, you know, he was going to build.
Uh-huh.
And we actually heard.
And what did they do in preparation? They light a candle?
The candle is burning. Lampadi is burning all the time.
Burning,
We just get up and you know, make the sign of the cross.
Uh-huh.
I remember that real
and then
well.
Just wait for
just
quietly.
Complete silence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that I do believe. I believe in that. Yeah.
They did that on the third night, the third day of
ninth
death, the ninth?
19th
and
39th.
Wow.
Yeah.
It has something to do with the threes and nines?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there a significance on those numbers?
You know, I don't know. I've always wondered.
Well,
like we never asked why, you know.
Yeah, you just did.
Mm-hmm. And they still do it. Nobody knows why.
Yeah. Well, the ninth, well, see, there'd be the eve of the 10th day, the eve of the 20th day, the eve of the 40th day, and then the third day, of course.
Yeah.
That's sort of traditional.
3 days is always,
Did we hold the number nine trip? Number nine, what they're talking about, number nine. People have different, and it's always think, you know, we're living way different from them.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like even when we unuing, you know, before it used to be, we used to be quiet. We had to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
now people are sitting around laughing and talking, yeah. You know, and just before, a minute before midnight, yeah. You know, it's quiet.
We were trying to do that one time and Ned didn't want to turn off the TV, you know.
Mm,
we're watching something on TV.
Yeah.
The only thing that I heard it happened at Hog Neck was sunburns. When the old man Sunbird died,
mm-hmm.
he was really raising pain at the place over there.
Mm.
Yeah, but you can't see him well, like
chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do.
Chickens and everything were really
mm-hmm.
making noise, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
That's the only one I heard. Because they were every pretty near death.
Yeah.
They that's their was their how do you call it? Way of you know ending the dead person. After 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
First day and the second and third. Well, anyhow, that was the only. Thing that happened after death was mm-hmm. Sundberg, a friend or Jean's, what do you call it, grandpa, old man Sundberg. Before Irina was married to Oscar's dad, Oscar, Elsie, second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are Sundbergs, the others, and Ellison's. Just an other man. Two marriages.
And do you also remember they used to put, after somebody died, they used to put a little glass of salt on the icons?
I was thinking about the salt.
They left it there for 40 days.
It's not only a salt, but also there was a little glass, a little container of liquid.
I just remember the salt.
I remember there was two. Salt and... liquid.
And my understanding for the salt was they kept it there for 40 days, and if the spirit had come back, there was supposed to be a thumbprint in there. And my sister said this, she had actually seen the salt, that there was an imprint in it. So I do remember that. For 40 days they kept it in the boji shelf.
Mm-hmm. And there's a pinch deal in there.
Yeah, and if there was a deal,
he was
they
there.
Came back.
Yeah.
And I think with the water, or was it oil with the water, if it was lessened or something.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of superstition. A lot of people believed really heavily on superstition, or else, you know, real. I don't know, but there was a lot of. I remember when a person died. Of course, you know, everybody had to prepare and make everything mm-hmm. for that person. You know, the coffins mm-hmm. and. Line the coffins, and another thing that they used to do years ago, and we talked about a little bit the other night, was women, you know, who saved their hair when they cut it, they saved the hair, you know, and used that
mm-hmm.
as a pillow or line, you know, put it in the bottom of the coffin. Mm-hmm. But remember, they, you know, if anybody had their mirrors, you know, they cover the mirrors
yes.
mm-hmm. with
a towel
or sheet or something, you know, because I think, if I remember right, the purpose for covering that, if you looked in, you know, they were afraid to go by a mirror if it was open, thinking they might see that, you know, the
yeah.
person that had died, mm-hmm. you know, in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, my stepdad used to, that holiday they had, the Krishenya.
Mm-hmm. Krishenya, 19th
yeah.
of January.
Well, on the 18th, he used to burn paper.
Yeah,
remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah.
And then they put it in the wall to see
mm-hmm.
what the shadow looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after that holiday, Russian New Year, you know, that was masquerade week they had,
mm-hmm.
and everybody would go out masquerading.
Till after that, when they'd burn the paper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it was... Of course, masquerading was considered kind of, you know, guessing who's behind the masks and everything else. But that Krishenya time, I think, was a time for, I think everybody sort of made sure that they took their bath or something before that church, and going to church to wash the evil spirit that may have been on you from that week of masquerading.
They used to go make them wash their faces the whole day. Mm-hmm.
I did have experience of that too.
You did?
Evil spirit deal. Me and Titik, my brother, older brother, were there, and he said he's going to church. And I didn't want to go to church then. You know. Well, before the custom was that after you masquerade and you jump in the sea, you know, I did that. Icy water, mm-hmm. You know, slush ice on it, and into it I jump. Boy, that is cold. That was cool. And of course, it didn't stay long, very long. Anyhow, church bell rang. We could hear it ring, you know. Mm-hmm. Titi left. We went to church. And I stayed home. I don't know what I was doing. But anyhow, just like I heard somebody walking to the door outside. Mm-hmm. You know. And I heard masquerading whistles, mm-hmm. them things, you know.
Yeah.
Ooh, and they figured, what, aren't they masquerading yet? They're supposed to be all over with, mm-hmm. you know, at the holy water time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I figured, well, what I'll do? I could hear them, you know, but they won't come in. Mm. And then, I went to where the icons were, you know, and had little holy water in the bottle, you know, and I got brave, you know, I figured I'll fix you. All around I went and in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. It's quieting down. Mm-hmm. But they actually heard them whistle, they blow the whistle nearly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Things like that. Well, it's hard to believe people didn't had experience with things like that, you know. It's hard to believe. We make people believe,
but it actually happened. Yeah.
Yeah. But there was nobody there when I went with the Svetoida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The same thing Edward Sr. told me, no, I just like his statue. Yeah. He didn't go to church. He was in the bedroom. And he said that he heard masqueraders dancing and dancing in the front room. Just like he said, they're supposed to be all over with it. It's crazy, you know. They're supposed to quit. He thought it was a bunch of kids. He said he was going to get up and bawl them out. He went out, there was nobody there. Same thing, it's like, exactly like he told me, he went and got holy water, got scared and went to church.
Yeah,
he heard them jumping and whistling, and he was going to go bawl them out. He thought kids didn't know.
Yeah.
That's what he told me. He said, boy, he got scared. He said, you don't fool around with that. He never masked after that, he thought.
So when you were saying you'd heard some about little people too, huh?
Oh yeah, they had them stories. The old Russian people, and you think used to call them Skvinya, little people. And the others called them Chujunju. Because I remember some old ladies went, they go look for cows on the other side of Yuzinki. And they come on the beach and they see those little tracks. Like you see back before the tide washed them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they came back, they were all scared. They said that Tujunjuk or Skvinya was there. And my dad said, somebody let their kids run around. They must have went on a skiff. But the old days in Old Harbor, my mom said in Eagle Harbor, I guess they used to tell them their, you know, stories, because I was grew up and you see the leprechaun show, Dargy O'Gill and the little people, and I started laughing. I said, the Irish people got on the Elliot's side of two, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they told those stories to teach lessons to kids because he said, when you build a fire on the beach, you know, make tea or something, picnic, you got to make sure you pick up and cover that fire with sand, because if the squid you step on it burn their feet, you get bad luck. It was kind of a lesson thing that they used to say. And they said this one guy, they used to, he was going, I guess, from Kaguya, and they used to portage, you know, go across the valleys and then get kayaks. And people would leave him. He was coming between Shearwater and Eagle Harbor. He must have went to a whaling station to buy a lot. He had his pack full. He left his kayak by Shearwater and started walking to Eagle Harbor, and he was going to go across by Sultry Cove. But he met three men coming. They were packing their kayak because they were going toward Old Harbor. And he was already tired almost halfway, and he said, oh yeah, no kayaks, I'm not going to walk around Yukat Bay, that'll take 2 days. So he walked back to Shearwater to get his kayak, because he thought there'd be some desert to grow. So he started packing his kayak all the way back. He said he got up to the mountain, by then he was so tired and it was cold, and he sat down and fell asleep with his kayak over him. And he said he didn't know if he was dreaming or something. A bunch of little people come and carried him down all the way by Eagle Harbor. And he woke up, he was on the beach. So he turned his kayak over and rode the rest of the way. But you know, that story they tell about little people.
But they must have actually happened.
Well, I was surprised. I thought it was, you know, just storytelling. But you got Balkowski and stuff. Those guys I went to, they all have the story about little people. Mm-hmm. And then over in Tititlik, George Allen, them, this is their grandmas too. You know, I said, it's not just Old Harbor, it's all over.
Yeah.
Chicknick boys, they'll tell you about their stories too.
Yeah.
You never heard those stories? I know the Russian people are, we used to call them Russians, they'd call them Chudunjuk. Till the land claims came, now they're all Aleut, no more Russians.
The Russians are moving though.
I think fishermen's got stories too.
There's a lot of Holok stories these days. A whole lot.
You have any stories?
Well, a lot of my, I've heard a lot from Nikki Katalnikov, and then when he was young. Wasn't it in Fort Lyons in 1946, 47, the kids in the school, seeing them in the tree behind, was in the Kodiak paper. The teacher seen it too, but the paper said, must have been a chimpanzee or a gorilla that fell off a boat going by. But all the old people there said it was a hola. You remember that?
Where?
They wouldn't
have heard
it. A fog night. I bet if they find that old paper, they'll find that story. All the kids in school seen it.
46, you said?
Something like that. It was a long time ago. It was in the Kodiak year that we were reading about.
Yeah, I remember hearing the story.
Yeah, I heard it somewhere too.
I remember the story.
The teachers seen it, and they're the ones who wrote in, and then the paper said that a gorilla or chimpanzee fell off a boat.
I remember. Yeah.
All people said was just probably a young a whole lot.
Did you guys go to Ellison's house when you were for Lance?
Like that's where that old car was?
No. Yeah, this about telling those stories.
I showed it to you, Jeff, Ellison's house.
Did you leave a bunch of papers? There was a bunch of papers on the floor.
Old telegrams.
Old telegrams and stuff like that.
Oh, you should have saved them.
Oh, the Nitty was
she was a radio.
Radio, yeah.
Union War.
Yeah. I wonder if they're still in the old telegrams and stuff. There was a big pile of them, I know.
Yeah.
I took some from Ellison's house. I have them for the red and the hoaches.
Up in Paranosa, Hula, I think, knows the story. I'm pretty sure he was one of them. There was a guy called Mike Wasikoff, Mika. He'd go over there and come into town with his skip kicker, and he'd have all kind of furs. And everybody was jealous, and they'd go out and come back. A lot of furs. So finally they said they were going to follow him and see where he's catching them, because they trapped all the way around Falkland Island. So when he went, they went to the next little bay behind here, and they were watching and watching to see where he's going. Finally they said, let's just stop and visit him. So they went and visited him. He was tired. Drunk, he had pure coin. There's no trapping. They went around, set the trap someplace and come back. He was loaded again. So they said, that guy was just teasing us. I bet he went out someplace. So the next time they went up, they watched. And they said, behind his house, they went to visit again. He come back from Kodiak. This is about a month and a half apart. He had a big back of black bull hanging in the tree with a rope. They figured he was doing that to keep it cool or something. So they went across and they're going to watch him, make sure where he's going. And they said in the morning they were looking and got daylight. Looked like something big behind there, behind his cabin. So they went over. By the time they got there, Mika was in there, finished fleshing all the big pile of furs. And they went outside and looked where the black bull was. Those big track, human track. They said their hair stood up, they got scared. Mika would never tell them. He must be trading with that Ahola or Bigfoot guy for tobacco. You guys swear by it. They follow me and all of them. They crossed themselves. We're not lying. They got out of there. He said, no way. Somehow that Mika used, because he trapped, must have communicated with them somehow.
And was he related to, he was related to Soapy?
Sophie's daughter was married. No, Sophie herself was married to Wasbrika.
Yeah, well, they had
her first husband.
Mika, I guess, had sons, but him and Sam were old. Then Mika died, and then Sam, he burnt up in his house. Somehow, I guess the stove caught on fire. He used to sleep upstairs. And then the other story I heard when they were in Tonki Bay, when they first started crab fishing, there was, I think, two or three boats. I'm pretty sure they said Jerry Google was there with them. And they said that evening about 7 o'clock, they just got really scared. So they all got in one boat and they were all staying there playing cards. They didn't want to leave each other. They just felt creepy. And they said finally about 10:30, 11 o'clock, they felt good. They all went to their boats and went to bed. And they said next morning they woke up they seen tracks going up the hill, and they said, boy, what, the bear must have been there. And then one of the boys went to the shore to get water, and they said right where they could see through the window, they seen these big human tracks melted in the snow.
Human tracks?
Yeah, a big one.
Oh,
bear no. Man, they used to call them, I guess. And they,
it was Bigfoot there.
Yeah, and then they tried to, I think it was, we should ask Jerry, they said, well, come you don't tell anybody? He said, if I tell anybody, they'll think I'm crazy.
Yeah,
so they wouldn't say
yeah, that's what they said, yeah, because you
they'll to laugh at me, they'll think yeah. I'm crazy, I'm not going to tell nobody. They all went to look, Nicky was telling me, he crossed himself, he said he's seen them. He said they weren't bear tracks, big human tracks.
Yeah.
Then a few times pilots flying over, I think by Frognick Lake, thought they seen somebody in the circle and it run in the trees. They said there was a bear don't run on his bottom feet. They had long legs and run full feet. Then another time, I think Jacob, Jacob and Nicky and them, they went to Little Frognick in the fall to get silver. There were three of them, I don't know, Ula might have been the other one. So they'd go up and make little sets of stealing silvers in the night time, you know, so they could go to town and sell them. They said they would put like 75 on a string and throw them down to the skiff, to the creek, they'd kind of float.
Yeah.
And they keep doing that till they get enough to go to town. He said they were coming back, one of them was stringing up there and two of them were dragging. Coming back, they said, on the bank, it's dark, they seen their partner looking like this with his hands. So, is that a bear? No. Looking at him. How come he's up there? He should be stringing the fish, you know, they're gonna boat. They went around the corner and come up, and their friend was still stringing the fish. He said, they all took 75 apiece, or got them all out of there, they said. They thought it was their friend up there. Mm-hmm. It was something bigger, put his hand, he was looking at them. They said they got scared, never went back there. He'd be a good fishing game warden. Yeah, but you hear those stories, them people swear, you know, trust and see things like that.
That one you were telling me reminds me of a story that my godmother, a couple of years, she came up, Melania Nakana. A couple years ago she came up to Fairbanks and she was telling this story about, and you were there, Sperry, maybe you can correct me, he's got a better memory for stories than I do, but she said that in the old days people used to go out and these killer whales would come up to the boats and the people they would sort of do this trade with the killer whales. The people would ask them, they'd say, well, we would like you to bring us some kind of fish, or fish I think it was, and they'd had their ichneumon, and they put a big gob of ichneumon in the killer whale's mouth, and then when the killer whales would sort of, when they'd ask them for the killer whales to help them, the killer whales would kind of nod like this and then they'd go away. And then the next morning, the killer whales would bring these fish or whatever they wanted and fling them up on the beach with their mouths, like, and they'd find them there, like, along the beach. That's what reminded me, you know, you said trading with tobacco.
Mm.
Now, was that the way you remember the story?
Because I remember even, I worked in Sitka a couple of years when I was young. I got friends with the Kitka family.
Mm-hmm.
And we were telling stories then. I was surprised they have, what they call it down there, Swiss washers. They're big man, bear man.
Mm.
They have a big foot down there too. I was surprised.
Yeah.
And then people were seeing in the evening when they drive towards the airport something dressed in white. I think they saw one, I forget who was. But they wouldn't go near it, dressed in white. So they had to call the priest to come over to bless the airport. After that, they've never seen it.
Must have been a graveyard the whole time or something. People used to say that. There was archaeologists past Barling Bay, and they went in and put up their tent. They couldn't start their fire with gas or anything. They told Carl, my brother-in-law. Then finally this one guy said, maybe we're on a sacred ground or something. Let's go across the creek. He said they went across the creek and first matched the fire to come. They found out later that there was a graveyard there. And these aren't natives telling us, these are white people. But that one guy knew, he said, we must be on some kind of sacred ground. Their fire wouldn't burn with oil or nothing. They moved across the creek first matches to come. These are powerful from what people think. Your tent right over. I used to love to listen to the story. This is Nick and Johnny, they used to go trapping, dad, someplace they went to a lake. And they had a reader with a church reader from Zinke. I forget, it was John Nomok. Anybody remember John Nomok? And they were just laughing, and Nicky said he was young, and just laughing at him. A bunch of superstitious old fools. They cut a hole in the ice, and they have a service and dip the cross.
Yeah.
And Nicky was standing there, and said, he was thirsty, he wanted to drink water. He said, I wish they weren't around, I'd just drink it. The third time they put the cross, he said, he swore it was, maybe it was an earthquake, and he said, all the ice just cracked in that lake, just like thunder, something going away from it. He said after that he always carried a bottle of holy water. They go trapping, put a little where they drink water. He said he learned after that, he got scared. He was laughing at the old people, calling them superstitious and everything. But when they put the cross up, the lake just cracked like something. Evil spirits always live in the lake. You hear that all the way to South America, yeah. People talk about it. And those old people know, and they blessed it, and boom. He said, this noise, the lake just cracked. You hear an earthquake, he didn't feel it, but just cracked. He didn't want to believe it for a long time. You know, when you're young, you don't want to believe in those things. He told me he crossed himself. He said, I learned to pack holy water when you drink water in a strange lake. I wish I remember a lot more of them. They come.